So I think I always knew. I think formally saxophone's the first instrument I played, but I had always set up Rubbermaid bins or pots and pans and tried to play to records I liked on that. So I feel like I always knew that I wanted to play drums in a band.
Back in high school, hanging out at Hurley's basement was a place to be because we could practice there. Mrs. Hurley was very tolerant of us playing. You know, we'd listen to music, listen to CDs and stuff, and it was a good time.
The noise was horrendous. You can't move the drum set very easily, so Andy would have all the kids come to our house, and they would play in the basement. Our neighbor next door would call me on the phone and say, it's vibrating all over in my rec room. Could you please make them stop? So I would have to make them stop, and then they would come back another day and start again until this guy came home and called again. From the time I was young, Sunday, we would all sit down and watch the Packers.
I grew up as a Packers fan. Everyone I know, everyone in my family, everyone in anywhere in Milwaukee is a Packers fan.
We used to go over to Andy's house to watch the football games on Sundays, and it would get crazy. We'd have a lot of people over, and he's a very passionate dude, so he took it seriously. When they would win, it was huge.
Ball's loose. Packers fan stares at the 47, and it is. Butler.
If something bad happened, he'd take it to heart. It'd bum him out the rest of the day.
Reached inside Newsom and caught it for a touchdown.
I remember, like, skipping church and just walking home because it wasn't too far, so I could listen to, like, Metallica records and then watch the Packer game. And I remember that's when Don Majkowski was playing, and that's around the time that Majkowski got hurt and Favre came in. And once Favre came in, like, obviously it was the start of a long era of excellence.
Favre goes straight back in the pocket. Now he pumps it. Now he's going to the end zone. There's a man. He's wide
it's
open.
It's a touchdown. It is caught by the wide open. And it is Kittlick Taylor. Oh, my goodness.
Favre was just awesome to watch. He was such a gunslinger that just threw wild passes that worked. Some of my favorite Favre plays are just the crazy shovel passes that just seemed so crappy but were so awesome.
Here they are in the line of scrimmage. Favre under center.
You always felt like no matter what was happening, he can pull it out.
Rainbow's down the left sideline. Got a man out there over the center. Down the center. Touchdown! Green Bay Packers! And a dagger in the Mile High City.
I hadn't really been to a game until Fall Out Boy played the NFC Championship game that the Bears were in the year before Favre's last year. And it was just, like, electric. And I was like, I have to go to an NFC Championship game with the Packers. Like, this is the coolest experience. I want this, but with my team, you know? And then the next year, we go to the NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field, Favre's last year. Horrible result, but still one of the best experiences I've had. So I got to go to Super Bowl 45, and that was just a crazy and magical year for a lot of reasons. That was during the hiatus. So I was at home a lot more. So the Packer parties every week were huge. There's like 20 to 30 people watching every game. And then obviously we get to the playoffs. And that was, you know, just an electrifying playoff run. It just felt like it was going to happen. And I was like, if we go to the Super Bowl, I'm going, you're going, and I brought one other friend. We went, I got tickets, which were insanely expensive, but I had to do it. you know, potentially it's one of those once in a lifetime things. I was on tour and luckily had the day off. So it was like literally fly in that morning, pray that I make it, that nothing gets delayed, and it didn't. And I got there and it was one of the greatest days of my life.
Throws it over the middle, leaping grab is made at the goal line. Is he in? Yes! It's a touchdown!
You good?
Yeah, I'm just fitting my ring for my finger.
The title is back in town. The Green Bay Packers are world champions of football.
When I go to Lambeau Field, I always get regular seats. I don't like boxes. They're just too far away and they're cut off and you're not in the thick of things with all the other fans. And there's just something magical about that and how loud it gets and when everyone is cheering and, you know, all the things you do at Lambeau. And there's a definite difference between our shows and seeing our crowd and then being in a crowd like that. I guess to me, our shows, I'm just used to it, and it's hard to really understand. It's surreal and it's amazing. It's such a cool experience, but it's almost not real to me. Although I am a fan of our music and, you know, I'm in a band with my best friends. I love what we do. I'm not like a fan of our band, but going to Packers games is a different thing because I'm a fan. It's like I get to experience, I guess, maybe what people experience when they come to our shows.
Welcome home. Time goes by, that's for sure, that no one can deny. And we've been apart, so welcome home. Here I am.
I grew up in Menominee Falls on a street called Destiny Drive, which is a pretty cool name for a street, I guess.
Menominee Falls is a small town. All the kids went to the same middle school, and all the kids went to the same high school and that kind of thing. So he adjusted well to a small town.
I mean, it was like, you know, Stranger Things neighborhood, just like growing up with a bunch of people who know, you know, everybody knows everybody, everybody hangs out. I never was really on in an outer in group because I think it seemed like a really good tight-knit community. I was never the weird punk kid. I was always friends with all the jocks or all the different groups, I guess.
He kind of projects that hard guy image, but he's a very caring person. He's very loyal to his school, his people, his friends. I guess that's one of his redeeming qualities.
For Andy, friends are family. That's first. That's one of the most important things, is getting people together, having a good time, with whether it be Packer games, whether it be playing on Sundays, we would like play tag football before a game or after a game. Friendship is very important to him. And the fact that we're still friends for this long, it means a lot, you know?
He had all kinds of friends, and he was highly respected, first of all, as a band member, but also as an interesting character.
Extremely intelligent young man. He liked music, and he liked physical education. He did not care for math, English, science, or social studies. So he waited for some interesting times. So Andy's mother and I were in contact a lot.
He did very well in school. However, there were times he wouldn't be interested and he would not do what he was supposed to do.
I think Andy's passion showed more in music than maybe some of his other subjects. I don't know what he was like as far as his grade point average goes, but music was always his passion, where I think he put an awful lot of his emphasis and his time.
Yeah, my mom was always really supportive of me being a musician and did everything she could to make that happen. She always tried to find the thing that was right for me. Like, I remember you know, being in karate and like kind of washing out, being into soccer and washing out, being into like softball and washing out until I found music.
He did play saxophone in school when he first started out, and then he wanted to go into drums. And I'm like, oh my, here we go.
I went to this drum camp every summer for a few years. That was like a really immersive musical camp. But once I found punk music, I mean, I grew up listening to like Queen and Metallica, Queen because of my brothers and sisters. And I remember going to a record store with my sister Maggie, and I got to pick out two records, and I picked out Van Halen and Metallica, Ride the Lightning, and that kind of set me on my path. So, you know, I go from metal to punk to hardcore, and I think, you know, as soon as I found punk, which was maybe freshman year of high school in terms of doing bands with people, then I remember I always kind of butting heads with my drum teacher at the time, who's like a jazz guy, and him just trying to like, you know, hammer home like jazz stuff and practice a lot. And I was like, I just want to play in a punk band. Like, and that kind of like was the next phase for me of not wanting, like not thinking, which I regret a little. I'm glad I did it while I did it, and I did it for a number of years, but maybe sophomore year of high school, I was like, I don't want to do camps and stuff anymore. I just want to play in a punk band. Which I guess ultimately worked out.
Touring back then, it was way grassroots, you know, we get a van a couple days before.
The initial thing was you build a loft in the van, and then you have the equipment under the loft, and then you have like, you know, this much space for a couple people to sleep, and the rest are just trying to sleep, you know, sitting up.
I mean, we'd sleep on top of the van once in a while on the side of the road, or it was just different. Anywhere we could find a place to crash. Usually when we get to the shows, after the shows, people would take us in, sleep on the floors, anything. If they give us a plate of food, that was the greatest thing in the world.
You know, we're loading our own equipment for shows, sleeping on people's floors because we were making, you know, maybe one large pizza a night, usually with the other bands that we're touring with as the audience. We started touring kind of full-time, I guess, earlier than other bands I had done, but we still did the local circuit so much to the point where we had like a good fan base in the area, and it felt like, okay, maybe we could do something with this.
The punk scene in the Milwaukee in like the mid 90s, late 90s was very diverse, and everybody knew everybody. It was very a mixed bag. So you'd play with a weirdo punk band, you'd play with a metal band, you'd play with whoever, but everybody was friends, so it was a really tight-knit scene.
And then Fall Out Boy kind of threw punk and hardcore, which is where I met Pete and Joe, and then they met Patrick, and when Fall Out Boy was starting, they came to me, and then we started doing stuff as Fall Out Boy. That was the first moment, I guess, some of the early practices when we were writing new stuff to demo, when I was like, Patrick's got an amazing voice, like, these songs are really good, like, this could be something. At that point, I had never done more than one, like, record or EP with a band. So the fact that we were kind of committing to touring alone was a huge thing. But even then, like, I don't think it was ever, like, this thought in my head, like, this is what I'm going to do now.
The music just kept coming forward and coming forward and coming forward. And I was astounded. The first time I went to one of his shows in Milwaukee, and somebody came up and asked for his autograph. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they want his autograph. I couldn't believe it. I was so proud of him that you know, I felt like I was going to burst. He just was showing more and more talent as the band progressed.
The evolution of success for Fall Out Boy, I can see on the outside, it looks like it was a really instantaneous thing, but from the inside, like, we were touring 300 days a year. I think maybe there's a spike in people who were interested in us on the tours we were on, but I do think it was like kind of a slow growth until maybe Warped Tour, and then it felt like something clicked, and just all of a sudden, I remember one of the first Warped Tour we did, where I think we only did 4 shows or something. I think it was Detroit. We played like on a weird stage that was way too small, and like there were fences around it, and people like knocked the fences over, and it was just insane. And then that was the moment where it felt like something ticked. You're the last of a dying breed.
Andy was respected by the kids because of his music ability. He was also respected by the kids because of his stand on drugs and alcohol.
When Andy was 14, he made the decision based on all the kids that he had met in Chicago about being vegan and straight edge.
In the hardcore scene, straight edge and like veganism was very, in our scene, it was very important. It was something new, it was something to get passionate about, and straight edge was like no drinking, no smoking, no doing drugs, trying to live a positive lifestyle, trying to focus on good things in life.
I think I have an addictive personality and an addictive gene in my family tree. And I think I kind of realized that it's all or nothing for me. And then being introduced to straight edge through like hardcore bands, that kind of made it something that was cool. And it wasn't Nancy Reagan's Say No to Drugs. And it wasn't, you know, this lame thing. There was something cool, and there was ownership for me as a kid to it. But yeah, I guess there is an aspect to being straight edge as kind of anti-rock and roll. But I think at the same time, rock and roll from the 80s really went through a huge change with bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and grunge. And that whole like life of excess kind of started petering out anyway. And then as, you know, punk and pop punk got big, I think in culture now, like being a nerd and being into fitness and being into all these other things is okay, and it's not lame. I think for me, anything I do, I have to be passionate about. I just found early on that like that's the key to happiness, is finding the things you're passionate about. And I think for me, I found that the biggest factor of that is community, which is why I got into punk and hardcore, and which is why I got into straight edge, because there's a community around it. And being vegan, there's a community around it. Being in a band is a family and in a community with your fans, and the dialogues you can have with all of that. And it's such a nourishing and awesome thing that kind of fills you up. And you give to it and it gives to you. And that's just really important. And I think all the things that define me, being vegan, straight edge, being in a CrossFit, being a Packers fan, are all based on passion. And I think that's a really cool thing about being a Pack fan, is the community is so tight-knit. Being at games, it's electrifying.
Fourth down, snap to Rivers. He looks, he hits, throws the right side. That's the way! And there is your dagger!
If you're at a Lambeau Field game and you win, and you're walking out and everyone's chanting Go Pack Go and you're high-fiving every single person on the way out or giving hugs to people you don't know that are probably vastly opposite spectrums politically or meat eaters, you know, whatever. But you're still coming together for one thing, and that's such a cool, amazing experience. I just think Packer fans are better fans than everyone else. I think, you know, I see Packers fans all over. I was walking around New Orleans on game day the other day. We had a day off, and I saw so many Packers shirts. And it's like family everywhere. You say Go Pack Go, and you're instantly friends. And I swell with pride and like joy. I love it. I think being a Packer fan to me is really cool because it's such a historical team. A lot of amazing coaches, a lot of amazing players. You know, there's a lot of history, there's a lot of championships.
I think Andy and everyone else loves the Packers because it is hometown, but it's also an organic thing. The fact that it's the only team that's owned by the fans, I mean, that's one of the most amazing things ever. That's grassroots, and that's Wisconsin, and that's where we came from.
That's crazy, you know, that there's a team like that that is owned by its fans, by its community. That's the coolest thing for me.